Perkei Eliezer, Perek Yud Aleph. We're up to the sixth day of creation. The sixth day of creation, we're going to talk about behemoths and chayas, and we're going to talk about the creation of man. That's when I want to focus more on the creation of man, but we'll have to go through the behemoths and chayas first as well. Let's read it. B'shishi hoitzi min ha'oretz kol min behemois zochorim min ha'kevus. On the sixth day of creation, Hashem took out of the land all types of behemoths. Zachar and Nekevus, male and female. Like we said, by everything it says male and female, except by man, Hashem only created one man at first, and could be Levyasan, also he created only one Levyasan, not two. We spoke about that before. Tmeim utaharim, kosher behemoths and non-kosher behemoths, pure and impure behemoths. If an animal, if a behemoth has two of these two signs, then you know that it's tahar. What are those two signs? B'mali geya uv'mafrisa yaparsa. If it has mali gera, it chews its cud. Umafrise parsa, it has split hooves. Ushleisha mini behema nivcharu lekorban oila. The three types of behemas were the three species of behemas were chosen to bring as a. It says lekorban oila. The marzu changes it to lekorban ve'oila. We spoke about a similar phraseology in Perek Tes. By birds, where it says lekarbon va'oila, we said that carbon could be means stam carbon is carbon chatas, so it's saying a chatas and a oila. The Radal over there said that carbon oila literally means a carbon that goes up, whether we're talking about a chatas, oila, shalman, whatever it is. Okay. Two ways to understand what the phrase exactly means. Well, there's the three types of animals, of behemoths, were chosen for carbon. Elohim, these are the three types of animals. Three species, shor, keves, ve'ez. An ox, or an ox and a cow, because it's the female, and a sheep, and a male sheep, and an ez, a goat, and a male goat, a he-goat, whatever. Those are the three types of behemoths that are brought as karbonos. V'chol min behema tahayra, she'enet nevela v'trefa. Any type of kosher behema, which is not a nevela or a trefa, basadeh. We have to see what that means in a moment. Mutar ba'achilasi. You're allowed to eat it. Nevela means something that was killed without the use of proper shechita. It was killed in some other way. Trefa means that it was, the word trefa literally means it was clawed. It was attacked or harmed by a different animal or by something else, which made it that it was in a state that Chazal have a Kabbalah that it's going to die within a certain amount of time, usually. If lemandam that trefa in a chay, but there's certain simanim that says that if it's losing a certain limb or it has a certain wound or whatever, that makes it into a trefa. The lashon over here is trefa basada mutra bachilasoi. So the Radal says two other girsais over here. It says a trefa basada, a trefa in the field. What does it mean a trefa in the field? So the Radal says no, it's not supposed to say basada. It's supposed to say something else. What is it supposed to say? So one girsai the Radal brings is kshera. It's supposed to say kshera u'mutar b'achila. It's kosher and it's mutar b'achila. The word basada and the word kshera look very similar. The beis and the chaf, at the beginning of the word, and the resh and the dal in the middle of the word look very similar. So you could see why that girsa got messed up. Or the Radal says, don't read basada. Read basara mutar b'achila. Say basara. You're just turning the dal into a resh. Bisara mutar b'achila. Its meat would be mutar b'achila. So the Radal apparently doesn't like this gersa of trefa basada. I'm not so bothered by it because I think it could be it's coming from a pasuk. The pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim says, "V'anshei kodesh tihyun li uvasar basada trefa leisaychelu lakelav tashlichuno isay." You should be holy men. Uvasar basada trefa leisaychelu. Meat of an animal that became a trefa in a field, you shouldn't eat it. So the lashon of the pasuk is something that became a trefa in a field, basada trefa. So here we're saying trefa basada. It's the same idea. Rashi over there, of course, points out, Rashi and Chumash, Parshas Mishpatim points out that, we mean, if only if it became a trefa in a field, it's aser, even if it became a trefa in your house, it's aser. So that's the normal way that it becomes a trefa. Fine. But the Lashon of Pasuk is trefa basada. So I'm not sure exactly what the Radal is bothered by over here. Fine. So we said, any kosher animal that's not a trefa or an avela, it's mutar b'achilasa, you're allowed to eat it, chutz b'shalisha dvarim, except for three parts of the animal. Hachelev, the hadam, the gidanasha. The chelev is certain fats of the animal that you're not allowed to eat. Usually those fats are in the back of the animal. Hadam, the blood of an animal. And the gidanasha, the sciatic nerve, all these things, these three parts of an animal you're not allowed to eat. Shenema, because it says, as it says in the pasuk, this shenema is going on the fact that it's mutter to eat the meat of the animal. Hashem said to Noach that I'm giving you the animals kierek esev, like the vegetables of the field, of the grass. To you, an animal is like a vegetable. You can eat the entire vegetable as much as you want. You can eat the animal as much as you want, basically. Yeah. If you could afford it, right? Bashishi haitzi min ha'oras sheva chayis tahiris. On the sixth, okay. So this was the behemoths. These were the behemoths that Hashem created on the sixth day of creation. Bashishi haitzi min ha'oras sheva chayis tahiris. On the sixth day of creation, Hashem took out from the land seven types of chayis tahiris. A chaya is different from a behemoth, and I said before that we're going to speak about it in a moment. But the seven types of kosher chayas, veruhein, and these are what they are, and art school doesn't even pretend like they know what it is. They just, in the art school Tanakh, it just says, ayel, ayel, tzvi, tzvi, yachmor, yachmor, akoy, akoy, dishayin, isoy, vazomer. They don't even bother translating. We don't know exactly what these are, but it's something like a deer, and a gazelle, and an ibex, and a reindeer, and a wildebeest, and bison, all these things are somehow included in the seven chayas tahiris. Anything that chooses to kind of has split feet and is not a cow, goat, or a sheep is usually going to be one of these seven things. And the Gemara Maseches Chulin says the simonim of a kosher chaya is that it has certain types of horns and it doesn't have upper teeth. That's what the Gemara says.
Alright. I saw that. Yeah. And slipped
feet.
But it doesn't have upper teeth.
They don't have
yeah.
A
big
controversy.
Right.
And it has special horns.
It has certain types of horns. I don't remember exactly. The Gemara has like different types of horns, like if they're like rounded or they're, I don't remember exactly what it is.
You know an example of one of these?
Let's say I think a mountain goat is one of these types of.
And a mountain goat doesn't have top teeth.
I think an ayol they say is a mountain goat. I'm not sure.
I was taking someone's shoulder once.
How do they eat?
In a zoo, something like that. They have somewhat like the gums are very hard. Something.
It has to be.
They don't have teeth.
It has to be.
Yeah.
I remember someone explained me like years ago. It's weird. And I was like also like.
Well, the vegetarian, like a mountain goat is a vegetarian, but still have to chew that stuff.
They chew, yeah. They chew with that,
yeah, exactly what, yeah. Exactly what they do. Right. All these chayas, you shech them and you eat it like a bird. Now, this statement is a little bit problematic. What does it mean you shecht it and you eat it like a bird? So, the Radal says that it doesn't literally mean the shechita of a chaya is like the shechita of a bird, because there's a halachic difference between the shechita of a chaya and the shechita of a bird. When we talk about a shechita of a behema and a chaya, so the halacha is you have to shecht two of the pipes, the what's it called, the windpipe and the food pipe. You have to shecht both of them, or rove of both of them. When we're talking about a bird, you only have to shecht one of the pipes. So there's a difference between. So how can you say that the shechita of a chaya is like the shechita of an oif? So the Radal says that maybe it's talking about not the actual shechita, but in the halachas of shechita, by a bird, by an oif, and by a chaya, there's a halacha that you have to cover the blood. We mentioned this a few times already. So in that way, a chaya is like a bird. But in terms of the actual shechita, a chaya is like a behema. The what's it called? What does it mean? Achilas and ka'if, you eat it like a bird. So the Radal says that achilas and ka'if means you eat an achaya like a bird. There's we said before that a behema, there's an iser called chalef. You're not allowed to eat certain fats of a behema. Those are the fats that go on the mizbeach. So we don't want to eat those fats dafka, because behemas go on the mizbeach. But by a chaya, there's no such thing as a chaya that goes on the mizbeach. Only behemas are kosher for mizbeach. So a chaya, there's no problem of chalev, and an oif, there's no problem of chalev. So by a chaya and oif, there's no problem of chalev. So what it means that you eat a chaya like you eat a bird means that you're allowed to eat the chalev. What? No, so the Radal is understanding that's what it means that in regard to the shechita, a chaya and oif are the same. Kulan b'shechitas v'achilas and ka'oif, he says that shechitas is talking about the kisui adam.
So what does that mean? That you do cover it, or
you do.
Like a bird.
Like a bird. A chaya and a bird you cover.
But not the other three animals.
But not behemoths. They don't require kisui adam. Then the Radal discusses another question. He says, how can you say that you eat a chaya like you eat a bird, but there's another difference between a chaya and a bird? A bird doesn't have an isra of gidanasha, and a chaya is like a behemoth that it has an isra of gidanasha. So the Radal talks about that, but he ends up saying tzarechin.
He says you need tzarechin?
No, you for sure need. The question is, why does Pirkei Eliezer say that you eat a chaya like you eat a bird?
Right.
So he says there could be in some sheet, according to some shitas, there is kiranasha by a bird also, or a same type of limb that we have by a behema and a chaya. A bird could also have it somehow. I don't know exactly, but what is he says tzarchin? And he says, and the matter says, ushar kol chaya shebasadeh kulan tmeis. Every other chaya that's not one of these seven that you find in the field is tameh. It's not a kosher chaya. Right, so we've been discussing over here two categories of animals. There's a chaya and a behema. So we know that we've already spoken out what are the halachic differences between a chaya and a behema. A chaya, let's say, needs kisei adam. Behema doesn't need kisei adam. A behema has the isra of chaylev. A chaya doesn't have the isra of chaylev. But what's the difference in the categorization between a chaya and a behema? What makes a chaya a chaya? What makes a behema a behema? It's interesting that I don't know if I knew this before, or I didn't realize this before, but the Radal points out that there's only three types of kosher behemoths. Those three types that we said, cows, goats, and sheep, those are the only three types of kosher behemoths. Every other behemoth is not kosher. And every other kosher animal is not a behemoth. Let's say bison or venison is deer meat, they're not behemoths. They're kosher, but they're what's it called? They're chayas. Or giraffes are technically kosher. It would be chaya.
One of them is suffered. What's it called? A bison? Is it like a big bull?
Yeah.
It lives in like the buffalo.
Buffalo, yeah.
In North America.
That's
the one that's like a suffix.
Well, there's something that comes up in Mishnayos and the Gemara called a koi. Or kvi, there's different ways of pronouncing it.
Yeah.
That's a suffix behema, suffix chaya. Yeah, we don't even know what it is nowadays, so it doesn't really matter to us. But it's a gishmak a suffix because it brings out the lumdus of the different halachas. But yeah.
You know this thing about the horns.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me when we're talking about the buffaloes, and I'm thinking about also in Asia the water buffaloes. The horns of these animals, they come out of the sides. Like that.
Right.
Okay? They come out of the sides. So it may be that they grow out of the sides.
Could be. I don't remember. I think it was in the form of how it grows. If it grows like twirly or if it goes straight. I don't remember exactly. I learned these Gemaras. Whatever. But. Okay, so what makes a chaya chaya and what makes a behema behema? So the Rishonim in the Pirushim on Chumash in Parshas Bereishis speak about this. The Ibn Ezra and the Radak, they say that a chaya is a behema, let's say, is an animal that lives with people and serves people. He has examples: tzoyin, bakar, sheep, and goats, and these type of things. Or let's say when we're talking about non-kosher behemas, we talk about a horse or a donkey or a camel. These things that they live with people in civilization. They serve them. That's what a behema is. On the other side, what's a chaya? A chaya are wild animals that are found out in the field. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Or whatever, that, those are the examples. This is Arye, Doiv, Nomer, Ze'ev, a wolf, these type of things. Those are wild animals. A deer is a wild animal. You don't usually keep a deer as a pet. These are wild animals, so those are chayas. That's what the Ibn Ezra and the Radak say in Parshas Bereishis.
What do we say when we have an animal that they're almost like evil one, like a dog?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, same question.
Because mamish we have wild dogs. So, over here there's the packs.
So I think that
packs.
Like, you don't hear them at night?
Those are wild dogs.
So wild dogs that.
Yeah.
And
no, I thought they were like coyotes or something.
Wild dogs.
But I think that dogs and cats. I asked a few people about this. Everyone said that a dog and a cat is a chaya, because the natural state of a dog and a cat is to be wild. You could domesticate it by bringing it into your house and raising it from when it's a puppy, and it'll be docile. And it'll be docile, but the natural state of a dog and a cat is to be wild. Most types of cats are wild. Lions and tigers are types of cats that are wild. I mean, there's a story of what's it called? I heard a story of a guy who went to the jungles in Africa. I think it was in Africa or maybe in the Amazon or something like that. And he found a cute little cat. No?
No, it's not the Brazilian guy, asking
them. Jaguar.
No? Okay, fine. So then maybe it was in Africa.
Another one. Yeah, you're right. It's the other one. Jaguar?
Yeah.
Whatever
it was.
He
brought it to his apartment. And the two guys brought it to their apartment in New York City, Manhattan, and they were raising this little cat. And eventually the cat grew up, and it wasn't the cat. It was like this wild tiger, and it ended up eating one of the people that was. So these things you can't really domesticate it. And then there's the story of what's it called, the two guys with the white tiger,
Siegfried and Roy
from Las Vegas. One of them got bit. Right? They got
the tiger grabbed its neck like a cub.
Yeah.
Like it would grab a cub to protect a cub.
Yeah.
That's what they say. I read an article.
Grabbed its neck and killed him.
And dragged him off stage to protect him because he was looking at someone in the audience. Said, and then he grabbed his neck. A little cub, of course, survives the incident, but a man, I don't know if he survived.
You don't know if he survived.
He's very severely injured.
Wow.
Having tiger teeth.
So that's what the Radak and the Ibn Ezra say. Whether it's naturally domesticated or it's a wild animal. Whether that species is domesticated or wild, that's the difference between chayin and behema. That's what the Radak says. The Ramban says in Parshas Bereishis says a different mahalach. The Ramban says that a behema is an animal that doesn't eat meat, or what we call in English an herbivore, and a chaya is an animal that does eat meat, a carnivore. That's the Ramban's chiluk.
The answer is many chayas that do only eat a deer.
Oh,
all the animals here in our kosher.
So there's a kasha like this. The Nitziv in Ha'emek Dover in Parshas Bereishis brings a Gemara, an open Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Yotes Amud Beis. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says that it's very weird for a deer to eat meat. That's what the Gemara says. Now, according to the Ramban, if a deer is a chaya and chayas eat meat, so how could the Gemara say that it's weird? That's what a chaya does. That makes it into a chaya. So the Ha'emek Dover argues with the Ramban, and he says a similar word to the Radak and the Ibn Ezra that it has to do whether it's domesticated. It doesn't have to do with what type of food it eats. That's the Nitziv's kasha on the Ramban.
But we don't have any behemoths that eat meat, do we?
I don't know. Behemoth doesn't eat meat?
I'm trying to think.
I don't know. Well, we only know of three kosher behemoths anyway, so. I don't know.
Even
not kosher ones. They don't eat meat.
Maybe solve the kosher with the dogs and cats.
They love meat. Both of them eat meat.
Yeah.
They love meat.
Mm-hmm. That's why they hang around over here on Shabbos afternoon, the cats. But an interesting thing, a friend of mine, before he saw this Nitziv, I think it was before he saw this Nitziv, he had this question on the Ramban. And he wrote down the question. He sent it as a letter to Rav Chaim Knievsky. He asked, how could the Ramban say that it's totally if you eat meat or not? The Gemara says that a deer doesn't eat meat, and we know that a deer is a chaya. So it's a kash on the Ramban. So Rav Chaim Knievsky wrote him back that it could be a lom d'shavort. This, that we say that a chaya is something that eats meat, that's only that means whether it eats meat of a behema or if it eats meat of even like shkatzim or amasim. Like if there's a whatever, like an ant or something like that, or a bug, does it eat the meat of a bug? So Rav Chaim gives us, if a chaya eats the meat of bugs, but it doesn't eat the meat of an animal, that's still called that it eats meat. So that's why, even though the Gemara says that a deer doesn't usually eat meat, that's not about eating the meat of an animal. But a deer would eat insects and stuff like that. And we know that deers do eat insects, or anteater, like they eat ants. But that's an interesting teretz from Rav Chaim Knievsky. Okay. This probably will be published in my friend's sefer. It's probably going to be the first thing in his sefer. His name is Rav Chaim Tzvi Lehrfeld. Okay. One day his sefer will be published. This will probably be the first shtickle in Parshas Bereishis. I don't know if he's publishing it yet, but I saw it. It's in his notes. It's,
what's the concept? What's the...
Huh?
The general subject.
No, it's going to be on Chumash one day. I don't know. We have to keep pushing him to print it. Okay. Now, so we spoke about chayas and behemoth. Bashishi, going weiter. Bashishi, haitzim in oretz, kol shkotzim, uramosim, kulon tmeim. On the sixth day of creation, Hashem brought out from the land all types of shkotzim, uramosim, like disgusting and crawly things. They're all tame. They're not kosher. I made a shtickle mistake when we were talking about the third day, the Thursday of creation. We were talking about grasshoppers. So I assumed there that grasshoppers were not just grasshoppers were created on Thursday, but also all types of shkatzim were created on Thursday. So here we're saying that shkatzim or amasim were created on Friday. It seems like there's a chilik between shkatzim or amasim and sheretz. Sheretz is a term that the Torah uses for specifically eight types of insects. A chalad, a achbar, I don't remember exactly all of them, but the tzav, there's eight types of shratzim. So it could be that, I think the way I understand is that the eight types of shratzim, they were created on the Thursday along with the grasshopper, and all other types of shkatzim or amasim were created over here on the sixth day. And I'm not sure if I made this distinction clear back then. Okay, fine. Ve'elu shenivru min ha'aretz, these things which are created from the land, nafshan v'gufon min ha'aretz, their nefesh and their body is from the land. Ukeshehen nigvoyin chazin lamakam shenivru. And when they die, they go back to the place from which they were created. Shenemar teisef rucham yigvoon. When their spirit will be gathered up when they die. Because of echademer, another pasuk says ruach habehem hayredes hilam talaretz. The spirit of an animal when it goes down, when it dies, is under down in the ground. So we spoke about chayas, behemas, and shkatzim ramasim. Now another thing that was created on the sixth day of creation. Bashishi, hoitzi min ha'aretz, behema, shuhurovutz, bahayre olef. On the sixth day of creation, Hashem took out from the land, behema, the real Gersa is supposed to say behemos, or behemos. In English it's called a behemoth. That's a type of like huge animal. It's called a behemoth. Shuhurovutz bahayre olef, which is crouching in the thousand in the mountains of the thousand. It's also known as, by the way, in Chazal, what? Behemoth, yeah. Behemoth.
In English, behemoth.
Behemoth.
Yeah.
It's also known as a shor bor in Chazal. Shor bor, or the behemoth. V'chol yom v'yom marisei elef horim. On every single day, its pasture is a thousand mountains. It eats a thousand mountains. Uvalayla hem nitzvachim aleihem. And at night, so every day it eats a thousand mountains, and at night the mountains grow back on their own, ki'ilu lo noga behem, as if the behemoth didn't touch it. Shenera, it says in the pasuk, ki bul horim yusuloi. Bul is like a lesson of titbalev titchadesh, right? Bul is like using up. So the using up of the mountains, yusuloi, like, is like his responsibility. The waters of the Jordan River are its drink. Shimeme Hayardin, Sevevin is called Eretz Yisrael, because the waters of the Jordan surround Eretz Yisrael. Read the Radal, try to figure out with a map how that works out. I don't know. Chetzin Lamala Min Oretz, Chetzin Lamata Min Oretz. Half of the Jordan is above the land, like you could see it, and half of it is under the ground, so you don't really see it, but it somehow still surrounds Eretz Yisrael. Shinei Amayat says in the Pasuk, Yiftach Ki Yagia Yarden El Piyu. The Jordan comes to the mouth of this behemoth, and also the behemoth is prepared for the tzuda gedola of the tzaddikim. We mentioned this pasuk last week when we were talking about the Leviosan. The one who created it is going to bring it, is going to serve it, you know, like serve it as dinner. The behemoth is going to be served in the tzuda of, or known as shor bar, is going to be served in the tzuda of the Leviosan. We have the Leviathan is going to be served there, and also there's another Gemara that says that in the future Kodesh Baruch is going to serve the Tzaddikim Yain Hamashuma Be'anova Meshishes to Mebreishes, wine that was preserved in its grapes from the 6 days of creation. Hashem is going to serve that wine to the Tzaddikim in the future. And there's a Mishnah Berurah, I forgot exactly where he says this, but the Mishnah Berurah says these three things we do a zecher for that every Shabbos. When we make kiddush on wine on Shabbos, it's a zecher to this. When we eat fish on Shabbos, it's a zecher to the Leviosan. When we eat meat on Shabbos, it's a zecher to the meat of the Shara Bar. Because we know that Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, Yom Shabbos Menucha. Shabbos is 1/60th of Olam Haba. Shabbos is Yom Shekulei Torah, Yom Shekulei Oroch, like Olam Haba. So we do a Pesach Remez for Olam Haba on Shabbos.
The Shor HaBor, there's one of those? Or is it a similar suffix like the Leviosan?
I'm not sure.
Shor
HaBor? Shor HaBor, it's behemoth.
Shor is
the
shore.
Behemoth.
And
the
bor is the hole in the ground.
Yeah. No, it's not really Shor HaBor, like bar like a pit. Oh. It's Shor HaBor with a komatz under the base. Bor, not boyer. Bor means wild. Shor HaBor, the wild ox. Which is sort of, based on what we're saying, a wild ox is sort of an oxymoron, because if it's an ox, a behemoth is domesticated, and if it's bar, if it's wild, then it's not domesticated. So it's some sort of, I'm not sure exactly what it is.
You brought up a couple of weeks ago about the Leviathan, that someone said, I don't know, maybe it was a joke, that one of the reasons why
they're going to serve fish. Yeah, no, it was a joke. It was. Because they're gonna have shor HaBor also, yeah.
Because they're gonna have
There, that was the joke. I heard that joke many times from my father. That's why I had to say it over. But
tradition.
Immediately, Hashem said to the Torah after creating all these things. Hashem said to the Torah, "Nase odem betzalmenu kidmusenu. Let's make a man in our shadow and in our form." This is not like Rashi, because Rashi says that Nasa means with the Malachim. Okay, but we also we sort of had this idea earlier in Perek Gimel when Hashem was going to create the world. Hashem spoke to the Torah that was Nikra Toshia and asked the Torah, "Should I create the world?" And the Torah said, "No, unless there's such a thing as Tshuva, there's no point in creating the world." So here we're going to see it came out the same thing. Hishiva Torah. So Hashem said, "Let's make man." Hashiva HaTorah, the Torah answered Hashem, "Ba'amar, Rebbeim Kol Olam, a master of all worlds. Ha'olam Shalcha, the world belongs to you. Ha'adam Hazesh Ata Reitzer Levreisei, this man that you want to create, Hu Ktsar Yamim, Usvar Roiges, V'yavali Dichit. He's Ktsar Yamim, he has a small amount of days to live. Usvar Roiges, he's going to have a lot of anger. V'yavali is going to come to be doing averus." The Radolf says that this is like a paraphrase of a pasuk in Iyov, which says that Yelucha is Ktsar Yomim Usvar Regis. So the Torah is saying, like, what's the point of creating man? If you're not going to have Rachmanis on him, Marich Apcha, to lengthen your anger, I mean, be slow to anger, then there's no point in creating man. Interesting, the Radolf asks, what do you mean he's Ktsar Yamim? Before the Chayt of Adam Rishon, people were supposed to live forever. So why are you saying that man is Ktsar Yamim? So this goes into something that, who mentioned it last week? He mentioned it last week. We knew that man was gonna sin, and we're talking about after he sins, we know he's gonna be Ktsar Yamim. But before he sins, but that's why we're calling him Ktsayamim, even though he didn't sin yet. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Hashem said, V'chiyal chinam nikresi erech apayim avchesed. Is it for naught that I'm called slow to anger and has a multitude of kindness? Of course, I'm gonna have rachmanis on this creation. It's similar to before we said that they said, why should you create the world? They said, you know, you need to have tshuva. So first Hashem created tshuva, and then He created the world. So here too, we're saying first Hashem is agreeing. You know, I'm gonna be erech apayim rav chesed before He creates man. What? Now we speak about the creation of man. Hischil kavetz es afoi shel Adam Rishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu began to gather the dirt that would create Adam Rishon me'arba kanfes ha'aretz, from the four corners of the world. The Radal says that the word kanfes ha'aretz sounds like corners of the world, or pines ha'aretz is another gerso that it has over here. But he says that it doesn't literally mean corners. It could be what he's bothered by is the fact that the world is actually round, so there's no corners in the world. So he says that it means directions of the world, from the four directions of the world. Where's my pen? Oh, here it is. Four directions of the world. What does it mean that a Kadosh Baruch Hu created man from the four directions of the world? So by itself, the pirush that you have on the bottom over there, the Bayis Hagadol, asks a question from another passage of Pirkei D'Eliezer in the next parak. In the next parak, it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu was Shebaroyoi Mimokim Tohar V'Kadosh Umeizemokim Nekochoi Mimokim Beis HaMikdash. That Kadosh Baruch Hu created man from the holy and pure place. From where is that? From the Beis HaMikdash. So it sounds like Hashem created man from the dirt of the Beis HaMikdash. Yet here we're saying that Hashem created man from the dirt of all four corners of the world. That's the Bayis HaGadol of Kasha. So he answers, oh, it's not a Kasha. Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Lamed Chesam et Beis, it says Tzadik Chesam et Beis in your thing, Rabbi Epstein? Mm-hmm. It says Tzadik Chesam et Beis in your Bayis HaGadol? It's a typo. It's supposed to say Lamed Chesam et Beis. It says it's Tzadik Ches also in yours? It's a typo. It's supposed to say Lamed Ches. Okay. It's actually Lamed Ches on the bottom of Amud Aleph to the Amud Beis. I don't know why it says Tzadik Ches. It's some sort of mistake. But you can see who copied from who. But, okay. I guess they didn't bother looking it up. Because the Gemara says, when we're talking about the creation of Adam Rishon, it says, Gufay mi Bavel, V'roishay Meretz Yisrael, V'lor V'shar Ha'atzis. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the body of Adam Rishon from Bavel, the head of Adam Rishon from Eretz Yisrael, and the rest of the limbs of Adam Rishon came from the other lands. So it's not a kasha. The head of Adam Rishon that came from Eretz Yisrael, you could say that's what came from the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash. But the rest of the Adam Rishon, which we said came from all different places, so you could say that's what Pirkei D'Eliezer is talking about over here when it says that Adam Rishon was created from Arba Kanfes Ha'aretz. That's what the Bayis HaGadol answers to this question. The Radal offers another answer. The Radal says that he wants to change the girsa of what it says in the next parak. It says, don't read that Hashem created a mission, Mi Mokim Tahar V'Kadosh, Mi Mokim Beis HaMikdash. Rather read it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all the mission, Be Mokim Tahar V'Kadosh, Be Mokim Beis HaMikdash. Hashem didn't create Adam from the holy place. Hashem created him in the holy place. Well, what did he create him from? What did he use to create him? That was the dirt from Arba Kanfes. That's what the Radal proposes. You should read it.
Does anyone speak about why?
Why what?
From the four.
Yes, Medrash is going to speak about it in a few lines from now. But interestingly, I just saw tonight the Marsha in Masechet Sanhedrin asks, Why did Hashem create the head of Adam Rishon from Eretz Yisrael? So he says because the head, that's the seat of Chochmah of a person. And the Gemara says about Eretz Yisrael, the Avir de Eretz Yisrael Mechakim. The land of Eretz Yisrael makes a person smarter. So that's why Dafka Kodesh Baruch Hu created the head from Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Now the Medrash says, Adam Shachar Lavan Yaroik. Red, black, white, and yellow. These are the four elements that went into creating Adam Rishon. Adam, red, Zehadam, that's the blood. Shachar, Eru HaKrovayim. Those innards. Black is the innards. Lovan, what was the white thing that Hashem used to create Adam Rishon? Eru Atzamis V'Gidim. The bones and the sinews. Yaroik. Now, Yaroik in modern Hebrew means green. In Lashon HaKodesh, Yaroik means yellow and green, or yellow or green. And sometimes it means yellow and sometimes it means green, and you have to know what it means in each context. Over here, the Radal says that it means yellow. Because look at the Radal, Islam and Aleph, he says, Yaroik, Hainu Yaroik kechalmain beitza u kesheiva. Yellow like the what's it called, the yolk of an egg, or like wax. It's yellow. It's naturally yellow. But sometimes yerek means green, sometimes it means yellow, whatever. It could be that when the Gemara says that Esther was yerek rekis, she was. It doesn't necessarily mean that she was green. It means that she was. The way I've seen that the Vilna Gaon says, no, the Vilna Gaon says in one of his Purushim and Tikkuni Hazoher, the Vilna Gaon says that it means that she had blonde hair, which is very interesting. She had blonde hair, blondini. Yeah.
So I heard someone saying that the skin was green. So what?
Yeah. Okay. If you're talking about her skin, yeah.
Olive
colored.
Olive
colored
is a very.
Olive.
I mean, literally green. It doesn't mean she's in.
It's like Middle Eastern.
Yeah,
Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
But
it's in Middle Eastern, and there's a certain hue to it.
Yeah.
Very rare that there's a green flavor.
They say that when you're about to throw up, your face turns green, huh? Okay, so now the Medrash is going to ask what Rabbi Steiner asked. Why did Hashem gather the dirt to create Adam Rishon from the four corners of the world? Why did Hashem have to do that? Hashem said, if a person comes from the east to the west, or from the west to the east, or from any place in the world, and he goes somewhere else, and now it comes his time to die, it comes his time to die from the world, and they're going to go and they're going to bury him. Hashem didn't want the land from that place where they're going to bury him. The land shouldn't say, "Oh, your body doesn't come from me, so I'm not going to accept you." The Radal says we're not talking about burying him. That kilo, like the land is going to like spit him out and then not let him be buried. But we're not. The land wouldn't let him decompose and become part of the dirt again. The land will say, "No, you go where you are from, and I'm gonna live the same. No, I don't want you." So Hashem made it that man was created from the dirt of all over the world, so that wherever he's from, he can sort of fit in and decompose into the dust of that area.
To teach you, wherever a person goes and his time, the potem in olam comes, misham hu afar gufay ulosham hu chayzer. From there, the dirt of his body is, it comes from ulosham hu chayzer, and that's where he's going to go back to. I'm not sure exactly what this means. It could be this has to do with something with Tchias Amesim. That dirt is going to raise its voice. Shenemar, ki ofar atah ve'al ofar tashuv. Because you're from dirt and you're going to return to dirt. I just saw tonight an interesting thing. I didn't have a chance to really look into it. This is what I was writing down when you came. But the Teres Chaim, Sefer in Sanhedrin, the Aflamet Chasmet Beis, discusses why did Hashem have to, like, who cares? So fine, so don't let the body decompose. Who cares that the body is decomposing, not decomposing? What's the problem? So it says that as long as a person's body still exists in the world, so the neshama will have a yearning to go back to the body. The neshama always wants to go back. And if the body still exists and the neshama can't go back, the neshama has a certain pain, a certain tsar that it feels that it can't go back. So Hashem is doing a chesed by making it that the body will be able to decompose and the neshama won't have this tsar. Now, I don't know if the Teres Chaim talks about this or not, but I didn't see the Teres Chaim inside. I saw it quoted by the Eitz Yosef on the Ein Yaakov. But my question is, so what about tzaddikim? We said that tzaddikim, their bodies don't decompose. So where they get around this? So I think the word is that if in the person's lifetime, so his neshama was so connected to his body that when he dies, his neshama wants to go back to the body. So yeah, you have this problem. But a tzaddik doesn't live for his guf. His neshama it transcends his guf. He doesn't care about the guf. Once the neshama gets out, he doesn't want to go back to the guf. The neshama doesn't yearn for the bodily pleasures of the guf. So by a tzaddik, it's the opposite. Even if the body is still there and it never decomposes, then the tzaddik's neshama won't have tzar. I think that's the way to understand it.
The stories about the guf of many tzaddikim, whatever, they've uncovered them. They became uncovered for various reasons, whatever, and they had an age. You know,
yeah,
they
as they say. They say.
There's no question on the pshat there that each part of the earth is not the same. I mean, you think the earth is the same. It doesn't matter what kind of afar from over there or from over there. It's all the same. But no, the pshat is they're not the same, and they're almost, I guess, jealous to say, I want what's from me.
Could be
from somewhere else.
It could be.
That's an odd. I don't call it havam, but that's an odd shot.
That they would be jealous.
They would assume that each part of the earth is a different style.
Each part of the earth is a different style is already mentioned by Rashi in Parshas Bereishis. Rashi says not talking about the earth, but Rashi when he's talking about the ocean, he says the fish from one part of the sea doesn't taste like fish from a different part of the sea. So you see that in different parts of the world, even if it's like the same species of fish or whatever, it's different. It's a different thing.
So
it could be the same thing with the dirt. I don't know.
Whoever put his head inside the Atlantic Ocean and then put it in the Red Sea, it's a completely different world. The colors are different. It's funny.
Well, the Red Sea is red.
The Red Sea is
the Black Sea. It's also blue.
The Red Sea is the bluest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah?
Blue. Like your...
My tie. Gun.
Blue. Like a blue eye. Like yours. It's amazing. You saw the...
Yeah, very clear.
It's a different color. It's not like in Brazil. Like, you know, like it's kind of green. It's kind of...
Interesting.
In Los Angeles, it's rainbow color.
All right. The Medrash is going to go through the Seder Yom of the schedule of how Hashem created Adam Rishon on that day that he was created. What happened in each hour of the day? The creation of Adam Rishon only happened during the day, not in the night before. So we're talking about just from Friday morning, the first hour of Friday morning, until the end of Friday. That's what the Medrash is going to talk about. U'shtemes reishoyis hayahayam. That day was 12 hours. In the first hour of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathered the dust of to make Adam. In the second hour of the day, Hashem was gobbled it. Gibloy means kneading it, like when you knead dough. That's what the word literally means. What does that mean over here? I don't know. Shlishis.
I say?
What?
Rashi brings that the aid that Oleh was not actually to cause rain. It was the tahom came up so that the adama would be
wet
so that it could be
to knead it.
Because
when you knead something, it's a liquid and there's some sort of solid.
Yeah,
okay, so now what does that mean? Okay. Shlishis rikmai. In the third hour of the day, Hashem embroidered Adam Rishon, or it could be that means that he made the different limbs, a tangible thing, like it's visible, yeah, shaped. He shaped it. Let's call it Revius Zarek by Neshama. The fourth hour of the day, Hashem threw into Adam Rishon a Neshama. Chamishis he made the Oraglav. The fifth hour of the day, Hashem had him stand on his feet. Shishis the sixth hour of the day, Kara Shemais. Adam Rishon went out and called the names of all the animals. Shvius nizdav galay Chava. The seventh hour of the day, he met his shidduch. He got married. He married Chava. Interestingly, I saw Pshat, and there's a sefer called Sefer Bris. He asked, why did it have to be that Hashem made it that others should first call the names of the animals, and then Hashem created Chava and he married Chava? Well, so he says that when you have a shidduch, you want to marry. Let's say you have a daughter. You want to marry off your daughter. So before you marry off your daughter to some guy, first you got to check him out. See, does he have a brain? Knows what he's doing. So first, and that, you know, Kilu Hashem was like Kilu the father of Chava in a way. So before Hashem gave over Chava to Adam Rishon, first he made sure Adam has some sort of chachma. So he said, you know, first name all the animals. Let's see how well you do in that task. Oh, he knows what he's doing. Okay, now you can marry him off. Shminis, the eighth hour of the day, Nitzavu al Peres Ilan. They were commanded about the fruits of the tree, meaning that they're not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Tshis, the ninth hour of the day, Olu Lamita Shnayim V'yodu Arba. Two people went up to the bed, meaning Adam and Chava went up to their bed, and four people came down from the bed. Maybe a different time we'll talk about who the four people were. Does it mean Cain and Hevel, or does it mean Cain and his twin? Asiris, the tenth hour of the day, Hichnisa leGan Eden V'over al Tzivur. The tenth hour of the day, Adam Rishon was brought into a Gan Eden, and he was over on the Tzivui. He transgressed the prohibition of eating from the Eitz Hadas. Achas Esrei Nidoin, in the 11th hour, Hashem judged him. Could be that's where the term the 11th hour comes from. Shtem Esrei Nizgarish, in the 12th hour of the day, Adam Rishon was chucked out of Gan Eden. Shenema Vaygorish Es HaAdam, because he threw out the man. He sent him away. That's the Seder of the 12 hours of the day that Adam Rishon was created. There's a few points to skip out over here. Just the first one over here is in one of the Mefarshim we have over here in Pirkei Avot Eliezer. It's called Parachad from Rav Chaim Falaji. Parachad. So Rav Chaim Falaji over here says something that I don't understand. He wants to bring a raya from the fact that it says that day was 12 hours long. From here you see that the world was created in Tishrei, like Rabbi Eliezer himself holds, that Tishrei Nivra Olam. Now, I don't understand what his raya is. Because, first of all, we have a machlekes, we've mentioned a few times already, we have a machlekes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, if Tishrei Nivra Olam or B'Nisan Nivra Olam. Was Adam Rishon created on Aleph Tishrei or Aleph Nisan? Now, Tishrei and Nisan are the two times of the year where the day and the night are equal. They're both, let's say, or Pachas or Yoyser, 12 hours on the clock. Meaning, the half the year the nights are longer than the days in the winter, and half the year the days are longer than the nights in the summer, but during Tishrei and during Nisan, Pachas or Yoyser are equal. So where do you see from here, so just the fact that we said, that day was 12 hours long, where do you see from here that it was Tishrei more than Nisan? If we're gonna talk about, if it means, let's say, 12 hours on the clock. I'm not sure exactly what is right. But even more than that, I don't understand. Every day is 12 hours long. Even a halacha. I'm saying in halacha. Every day is 12 hours long. The way you count an hour is from the beginning of the day to the, you take the amount of time it takes from the beginning of the day to the end of the day and divide it by 12. Right? So what's his raya from here? The Tishrei Nivra. I don't know what he wants exactly. Fine. That's this. This medrash about the 12 hours of the day that Adam Rishon was created. So there's quite a few different versions of this medrash brought down in other places in Chazal. I made a nice chart illustrating the differences in different places in Chazal. But it's all in Chinese, that's right. If you look at the chart, so the two columns on the right, you have the Gemara and Pirkei Avot Eliezer. Basically, the Pirkei Avot Eliezer sort of mimics the Gemara. There's a few slight differences between Pirkei Avot Eliezer and the Gemara, but basically Pirkei Avot Eliezer mimics the Gemara. Then the three on the left, they sort of have their own sort of different cheshbon that deviates slightly in a few different nakudas, a few more nakudas. But there's a few different things to speak about. But I want to finish up already. But the Radal asks a question like this. The Radal asks that
If you look in Pirkei Eliezer later on, in Pirkei Yotes, it says over there that Adam HaRishon was brought into Gan Eden in the seventh hour of the day. Now, from what we just read, it says that Adam HaRishon was brought into the Gan Eden in the tenth hour of the day. So, how could it be that later on it says in the seventh hour, here it says in the tenth hour? What do you do with that? So, the Radal says that our Pirkei Eliezer is not really Pirkei Eliezer. This whole selection over here of the Medrash of the 12 hours really was just sort of copied from the Gemara. Now, it's interesting to say such a word. He says that really Pirkei Eliezer holds differently than the Gemara, but it was just copied because it was talking about this topic, so they stooped it in. Okay, that's what the Radal wants to say. One of the main differences between these different midrashim over here is the two on the left, on the right, the Gemara and the Pirkei Eliezer. So the way they bring down the story, Adam and Chava had children before the chait of the Eitz Hadas, and the other three understand that no, Adam and Rishon didn't have children yet by the chait of the Eitz Hadas. So the Mabit I brought down over there in footnote Zion, the Mabit discusses this. Did they have children? Did they not have children? And he asks two questions. He says, first of all, if they had children, so then some of the children also ate from the Eitz Hadas. And if the children didn't eat from the Eitz Hadas, so then the children should be living forever, because they didn't eat from it. And also, if you look in the Pesukim, in Parshas Bereishis, it sounds like the children were born after this whole story. So how can you say it happened, the children were born before? So that's what Mabit has, two questions on the Gemara and Pirkei Eliezer's account. And he goes with the other Midrashim and he says that no, they were really, they're Cain and Havel born afterwards. If you look good in Rashi, in Parshas Bereishis, as I brought over there in the paper, Rashi seems to say that no, it's clear that they were born before, not that they were born after. And to answer his question, why don't we find that Cain and Havel lived forever? So I think you have to say like this. This that if man wouldn't have sinned, he would live forever, that doesn't mean that man can't be killed and is immortal. That just means that the natural way of living was that he would live forever. But let's say Hevel didn't die on his deathbed. He didn't get sick and he died. Hevel was killed. It could be that even if man didn't sin from the Eitz Hadas, there would still be a possibility that a person could get killed. If someone went and killed him, if man would live forever and a person went and chopped off another guy's head, he's not going to die? Of course he's going to die. That doesn't mean, that's not a steer to living forever. Being killed is not, I don't think, he was murdered. So Hevel is not a kasha why he didn't live forever. He could have lived forever, just he was killed. So Cain. Cain.
Life expectancy was infinite.
Right. Cain. Pashas was also killed, according to some midrashim. According to other midrashim, he died in the marble with everyone else because Hashem killed them out because they did averus. But other than that, they would have lived forever. Could be, and you could say that they didn't. They didn't eat from the Eitz Hadas. Okay, there's a Chizkuni that says that Cain did eat from the Eitz Hadas. All right, whatever. But that's this shaila about whether the guys were born yet before the story of the Eitz Hadas or not. There's one more thing I want to speak out.
Real quick.
Yeah.
If they're going to live forever, I don't understand. There was a tree that Hashem prevented them from eating from that was going to let them live forever. That's the pshat. If they're going to live forever, then what's the tree for?
Could be the only.
The tree.
So they speak. They speak about this, that the whole Indian of the Eitz HaChaim was only mentioned after there's such a thing as the Eitz, after they ate, yeah, from the Eitz Hadas. So like the Eitz HaChaim is sort of the antidote for what the Eitz Hadas brought into the world. If they didn't eat from the Eitz Hadas, there was no such thing as the Eitz HaChaim. Could be. Yeah.
After the
but there's an interesting medrash that says like this, and with this thought we're going to end. But the medrash says that Adam, the difference. What's the difference in Adam Rishon and Kal Yisrael? So the medrash Tanchuma in the end of Parshas Shmini. The difference in Adam Rishon and Kal Yisrael is that Adam Rishon, he couldn't wait an hour and he ended up sinning by eating from the fruit of the Eitz Hadas. Kal Yisrael, they wait even 3 years before they eat fruit because they don't want to be over the Isra of Arla. They have the patience to wait, and Adam Rishon doesn't have the patience to wait. That's what the Medrash says. The Sefer Sifsei Koyin al Torah, Parshas Bereishis from Rav Mordechai HaKoyin of Tzfas, one of the early Mekubalim. So he writes an interesting idea. He says that Adam Rishon What was other mission's chait? Other mission's chait was that he took, the Gemara says different shitas in brachas over there. What was the fruit of the Eitz Hadas? One of the shitas was that there was a grape. So the Sifte Kain says that other mission took this grape, and instead of waiting until Shabbos and making wine out of the grape and making kiddush on the wine for this kiddush on the wine for Shabbos from this grape, instead of waiting until Shabbos to use the grape, he ate it on Erev Shabbos. That was his chait. It's like Orla. The Gemara says that other mission is called an Orla, the Meshech Bar Losay. Why? Because he Orla. That's what the Sifte Kain says. So the question is like this. How could you say that the problem is that he didn't wait until Shabbos and this that he ate was orla? Orla, the halacha is when you plant something, you have to wait three years and then you can eat it. Or 4 years, fourth year is kalish and the fifth year you can eat it. Right? Even if other mission would have waited until Shabbos, but it's still going to be orla, so how does that answer the whole Indian? Why, if he eats it on Friday, it's orla, if he eats it on Shabbos, it's not orla?
It was before receiving
the Torah. True, it was before. Yeah.
God said, look at it.
And it was already a fully grown tree.
Yeah.
Oh.
In one day.
Yeah. So, wait, so.
Hashem said, yeah, exactly. Hashem says in the.
So, I saw an interesting chat over here.
For their mission to have it. That's the purpose of creating all the plants and stuff. So, you know,
right.
But
from
the tree. I hear. But
none of them are.
But listen to this interesting chat. There's a sefer from my great 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 grandfather's son in law. My great great grandfather
was outside of Israel, so he doesn't have orla.
There were plenty.
Could be. My great 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 grandfather, Reuven Chaim Klein Zatzal, the author of Shnei Chaim, so he has a son in law, his name was Menachem Ben Zion Shapira. He was so he writes, he has a whole conscience about different things, about the creation of the world and astronomy and whatever. And he basically writes that when we say that, let's say we say like in the future, the sun, the moon is going to be as strong as the sun, or lavana k'or chama, v'or chama is going to be shiva saim k'or shiva simei breishis. So what does it mean that the or chama is going to be shiva saim? What's the word shiva saim mean? Seven, it has to do with seven. So he says, he basically makes the claim that Shiva Sayim means 343. Because 7 times 7 times 7, 7 cubed, is 343. He has a whole cheshbon with a whole bunch of different things that he answers kashas and things and steers with this idea. That basically, in the time of the 7 days of creation, the astronomy, the sun and the moon, was moving 343 times faster than it normally goes now. That's what he says. So based on this idea, his son, Menachem Ben Zion Shapira's son, his name was Rav David Shapira, was one of the Gedolim in Yerushalayim about 100 years ago. He says, "Sefer Shalos Tshuva is Bnei Zion." He says, based on what his father says, you can answer what the Sifte Kain is saying. Because basically it comes out that every day of creation was 343 over 365 of a day. Which is a little bit less than a day. 343 over 365 of a year. Each day was 343 over 365 of a year. And basically, if you make the cheshbon from the beginning of the third day of creation, basically assuming that Aleis HaShachar was about 5:30, let's say Neitz is let's say like 6 or whatever, basically it'll come out that 3 years worth is going to be on Friday towards the end of the 10th hour of the day. If you're counting from Tuesday morning, so like let's say half of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all the way up until 10 hours and 40 minutes into the day. So he says that according to that cheshbon, 3 years would be up at that point. 3 years would be up Friday afternoon, about 10 hours and 40 minutes or so into the day. So he said, now the Gemara says that Adam Rishon was over the Isra of eating the chait of the Eitz Hadas in the 10th hour of the day. That's, if you look at the chart, the Gemara says that, Pirkei Avot says that, Medrash Tanchuma says that, the Medrash Shecher Tev says that. It's almost agreed upon by everyone that that's the hour of the day that the Adam Rishon was over the Isra. So he says that that's the taina of Sifsei Kain. He's saying if he would have waited to the end of that hour, it would already not be Orla. He should have used it for Shabbos. But instead, no, he did it within that hour. Like Mamish went before, it would have not been Orla, and that's why he was chayte. That's the Bnei Tzion's, that's the way the Bnei Tzion explains what the Sifsei Kain is saying. If you would have waited Mamish another 2 hours till Shabbos, then you could Mamish, there would be no chashash Isser, everything would be good. But instead, he was chayte Mamish in that hour that it was supposed to become not Orla anymore. That's the Sifsei Kain. That's the Bnei Tzion's vart in the Sifsei Kain. Just to leave off with a kasha, if you look at the chart, there's one opinion who holds that other Rishon was chayte in the 11th hour of the day. The other is Rabbi Nassin. According to all this, you don't have this word anymore. All right. The 11th hour. All right. Shkoyach for coming. Shkoyach for staying, and a good to